I'm Leonida Inge. This is Test It from WUNC, a look at what the day's challenges tell us about where we are, what we believe, and who we want to be in North Carolina and the South. Today, HBCUs and COVID-19. Hot, humid, and happy. That's how I remember it used to be when I arrived on the campus of Florida A&M University for another year of studies. And we even had our own soundtrack. It seemed like the mighty Marching 100 was always practicing. We needed a steady beat to get us across that campus in what felt like 100 degree heat. But I imagine the bustle of students and campus life will sound a lot more faint this fall. Students muzzled by masks and forced to spread out, at least 6 feet apart. My alma mater is not the only historically Black university to welcome students back to campus this month. St. Augustine's University in Raleigh, North Carolina is doing the same, with a motivating message from President Irving Presley MacPhail.
In this new normal, I encourage you to make judicious decisions and commit yourself to the Safe Falcons Pledge, which reinforces the importance of wearing masks, hand sanitizing, and social distancing. We wish you the very best in the fulfillment of your personal academic goals. Falcon Pride.
Go Falcons! Fayetteville State University is opening too. Here's Chancellor Peggy Valentine.
As you already know, these are certainly unprecedented times, and we need for each of you to practice the three W's: wear, wait, and wash. Wear your face mask, engage in social distancing, and wash your hands regularly to reduce the spread of COVID on our campus. I am so proud that you are here. Let's make it a great year.
Go Broncos! Still, in many ways, HBCUs are facing a greater struggle than their predominantly white and wealthier counterparts. Some HBCU leaders have admitted just the cost of personal protective equipment, cleaning, and testing could be overwhelming. The CDC reports African Americans are 2.5 times more likely to die of COVID-19 than whites. The reasons range from poverty to systemic racism, and the disparities are profound. A Washington Post Ipsos poll shows nearly 1 in 3 Black Americans know someone who has died of COVID-19. Facts about COVID and facts about the struggles of many Black college students linger in my head and my heart. I guess this is the time to be strong and focused, like 21-year-old Brittany Cowan, a senior at North Carolina Central University, an HBCU in Durham.
This year is especially important for me because I will be the first in my family to graduate from college. It saddens me that I will not be able to have the senior year I have always hoped for growing up. But knowing that I will still obtain my degree this spring compensates for all that I have lost as a result of this pandemic.
Cowan moves into her dorm this weekend. But socially distant campuses and in-person classes won't be the scene at all 10 HBCUs in North Carolina. Some small private institutions are continuing their virtual model from the spring and going all online this fall.
We can't experiment with people's lives. And so that was the only thing we looked at.
Suzanne Walsh is the president of Bennett College in Greensboro, a private all-women's institution.
What we decided early on was we were going to put health and well-being first, health and well-being of our students, faculty, and staff. We understood very clearly who our demographic is. We are a majority Black female institution in terms of students, and the same is true for faculty and staff. Because we're so small, it's our strength, and it means we know quite a bit about everybody. And we also know that we have a large proportion of our students, faculty, and staff who have the comorbidities that make them more vulnerable to this virus.
Instead of planning roadmaps or predicting worst-case scenarios, Walsh says it was important for her to make one decision and stick to it for the semester.
You know, faculty don't want to put together a bunch of different plans and then have to choose one, you know, and then maybe choose another one later in the semester. From a student perspective, again, and family perspective, really difficult to constantly be having to say, well, do I drop my student off? Do I drop my daughter off for the whole semester? Is it only part of the semester? How will you know when to close campus? This is the thing. How will you know? Is it after the first case or the fifth case? So I committed to students, faculty, and staff. I would make one decision, come forth with one decision. Whatever that was, we were going for it, because you can't have a situation where we are increasing everybody's anxiety. Last fall when I arrived, I came in and I was talking about it being a VUCA environment, and VUCA means volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And I came in saying the world is that way and so is Bennett College. So that was last fall. And when the spring came around and we had to vacate campus because of coronavirus, I had faculty and staff sort of yelling to me across the campus saying, Chris, VUCA, right? Like, they thought I was nuts when I was talking about it, but then they were like, I didn't know Corona was coming. Although I feel like I should just go around claiming I did. But, you know, it just, what it meant was that we had some practice. We had some practice with, like, oh yeah, how do we behave when something's uncertain, when it's complex, when it's ambiguous? And so we get to practice again this fall. In a new environment, trying to minimize the uncertainty and complexity.
I've heard the leaders at other small private institutions, they talk about health, but they do talk about finances, even just being able to afford to be able to keep the campus clean all the time, how much that would cost, you know, by itself.
Yeah. Well, and that was part of our calculation. So the things that we had to first look at before we could make even a final decision, number one, we had to look at, are there enough available tests? Would there be a sufficient number of tests available for us in the fall? And in the spring, just to give context, in the spring, we ordered 10 tests from LabCorp and we received one. And part of that is because we are an independent college. We're not part of a large system. And so our ability to be able to purchase is reduced compared to maybe like a larger public institution. So we were struggling with that. We couldn't get over that threshold. We didn't know whether we could get enough tests for the fall. The second thing is that we had to be able to have the facilities and the ability to isolate, quarantine, and contact trace when a case comes to campus. Because pre-vaccine, we will all have cases. So what are we able to do to make sure that our students, faculty, and staff are safe? We weren't in a position to be ready for that in the fall because, to your point, like, the expenses and the planning that needs to go into that, again, not something to be rushed. If we don't have those things, we actually have a lot more work to do than, say, an institution that already has a very sophisticated healthcare system or maybe a hospital associated with it or part of a state system. We're kind of building from scratch. And so those costs are quite high. But giving us the time to be able to plan, to be able to plan with the experts, is part of what I think is really important, again, pre-vaccine.
Well, are you getting good feedback so far? I mean, that buy-in, because a school needs students. And in the long, they need students to even be an institution. So are you worried that this is maybe so new that that may affect your enrollment?
No, because I think what's most important is that the students for whom Bennett is a great choice find us and we find them. And that's not everybody. We're not for everybody. And I'm okay with that. But we are for a very specific kind of young woman who sees herself leading, whether it's like out in front leading or leading from behind the scenes, but a woman who sees herself as being a healthy contributor to civic and social issues, civil rights issues of our days. That's in our DNA. We're still growing and we take a lot more student input right now because we are reimagining and reinventing. And so I think it's a very exciting time. If you're the kind of student who wants to have a say in sort of how things go, this is a great place to be.
So really, I have to ask you, how are you doing? You know, a lot of college presidents say they cannot sleep at night. But also, I don't want to just ask you what keeps you up at night, but I guess what makes you smile during this time as well?
I think it's because I do love a VUCA environment. Like, I love to be in an environment where we get to say, what's the opportunity? There's a challenge that's been thrown at us. If you like improvisation, it's sort of like something's been thrown at you on stage and you have to say yes and. You don't get to say no but. You say yes and. Okay, that just happened. Yes, and what can we do? But ultimately, it's about the women. You know, this is the moment to be engaged with women of color who are trying to find their journey to leadership. Like, this is the moment. So if that doesn't make you smile and the opportunity to think, like, what does that mean for the 21st century? Then this isn't the gig for you. But for me, I'm like, this is fantastic. We get to create, we get to co-create a future together. I'm in.
Suzanne Walsh is the president of Bennett College in Greensboro. More in a moment.
There are things we're taught not to discuss in polite company. But by avoiding so-called impolite conversations, we're missing out on the chance to make important connections with each other. I'm Anita Rao, and I'm on a personal journey to uncover just what happens when we open ourselves up to talking about taboo topics that affect our bodies and our brains. Find out on Embodied, a new podcast about sex, relationships, and your health from WUNC.
If you've attended a Black Lives Matter demonstration this summer, or any Black-centered event for that matter, there's a chance you've heard a certain song reverberating across the crowd. Lift Every Voice and Sing is often referred to as the Black National Anthem. The version you're hearing right now is being performed by Brian Horton. He's a saxophonist, composer, and professor in the Jazz Studies program at North Carolina Central University. Horton recently performed Lift Every Voice and Sing as a part of NPR's Songs for Change project.
I've been hearing the song Lift Every Voice and Sing well before I can remember anything else about music. At the time, it seemed to be the go-to anthem for anything involving Black culture. Whether it was in church, school functions, family gatherings, or even just around the house on Sunday afternoons.
The anthem was born more than a century ago when activist and educator James Weldon Johnson originally wrote it as a poem. Johnson's brother then set it to music, and in 1919, the NAACP named it the Negro National Anthem, later swapping Negro for Black. Since then, its music and lyrics have served as a testament to our empowerment and determination as a community. Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty.
The message was clear and powerful, freedom, liberty, and equality for African Americans in the United States. And today we're still fighting for that freedom. That's evident with the deaths of African-Americans, George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, and many others by the police, which has ignited protests, even during the current COVID-19 pandemic, across the nation and around the world to end systemic racism and acknowledge that Black lives do matter. I express myself through music like so many other jazz artists have done before me, who use their talents and platforms in challenging times like these, and Lift Every Voice immediately came to mind. This is a much faster version that hopefully encourages to keep that fire lit and captures the intensity and urgency that Black people and the supporters of the movement are feeling right now. It also uses improvisation over a blues form that to me symbolizes the countless voices yet to be heard, but continue to persevere in the face of adversity.
You can see the whole Brian Horton performance of Lift Every Voice on Twitter at WUNC Music. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Leonida Inge. Charlie Shelton Ormond is our producer. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. Thanks for listening.